Welcome to Insight Aviation, helping you to take a look inside the world of captains, aerospace professionals, air traffic controllers, and much more. Learn how they got started, where they are now, and their advice for aspiring aviators. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy, located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Welcome to Wayman Aviation Academy.
The thing that sets Wayman apart from other flight schools here, basically the location, fleet size,
being able to provide high quality training.
They have the resources, they have the fleet, they had everything I was looking for to start my career as a pilot.
Wayman is a very airline-oriented operation.
The Academy offers complete ab initio flight training programs and courses.
Get to know each student, because each student is different.
Wayman Aviation Academy operates a large fleet of more than 40 airplanes and full-motion flight simulators.
Here, maintenance is priority number one, and we take pride in what we do.
Realizing your dreams at Wayman is within reach.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
Wayman Aviation Academy, developing the skills and attitudes for safe, successful, and professional pilots around the world, changing lives through aviation.
Hello, and welcome to the Insight Aviation Podcast brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. We have a great guest, a former instructor alumnus of us, of Wayman Aviation, Teresa Mastro-Simone, Senior Director of Training Center Operations at Atlas Air. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me. Yep, thanks.
I was so happy when you reached out to us not that long ago because it had been years since we heard from you, and you always had such a bright trajectory and path in your training with us. You were always a delight to fly with when you were with us. Why don't you start by telling us what you're doing at Atlas Air?
Yeah, so I've been with Atlas for 10 years now. I was actually working for them when I first started at Wayman as well. Right now, serving as Senior Director of Training Center Operations for Atlas. So overseeing our training center here at Miami International Airport, overseeing our training records, training scheduling departments, all of the compliance that goes into training all of our new hire pilots and flight attendants. So a really wide range of taskings and oversight, but certainly in the growing environment at Atlas Air right now, there is a lot to be done, and certainly is keeping me on my toes.
That's excellent. And so you're who everyone wants to know, training center operations. That's the doorway into Atlas.
It sure is, yeah.
So those that don't know who Atlas is, I mean, worldwide cargo operator, huge 747 fleet. I believe you even manage the really large 747. The name escapes me, the one that's converted.
The dream lifter that carries the parts for the 787. Yeah. A very unique aircraft, up close, far away, and in everything it does. Yes.
And we've had a lot of great alumni go into Atlas Air. First two that come to mind is, I remember Odie posting she was in Korea, James that he was flying between, I think, Tokyo and Australia, and was telling me all about that. That's the dream, right? To be flying these big, beautiful aircraft spanning the globe, and Atlas helps you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's truly an international airline, taking crew members all around the world. Within one trip, you could circle the globe a few times if you wanted. Very interesting flying. The aircraft are interesting. The routes that we fly, our customers are diverse, and certainly keep all of us on our toes with the types of flying that they need.
And so I know that Atlas has a very big presence here in Miami. I mean, it is a big international hub. Is all of their training really kind of focused here in the Miami area?
Yeah, it is. So that's where the training center is for the flight attendants and the pilots both. That's where our simulators are based. On occasion, we may use a vendor that's based elsewhere and fly our, when our simulators are at max capacity, there may be occasions that we send our pilots elsewhere to do some sim training. But other than that, this is the spot, and this is the spot that Atlas wants to stay and continue doing their training is here in Miami.
Beautiful. Well, I'm glad to have them here in Miami. So that's, I didn't realize you were Atlas when you started with us, but why don't you take us through how you got here, right? I recall you're an Embry-Riddle graduate. How did you get interested in aviation?
Yeah, so as a young person, I loved to travel. I was a student ambassador, and I went to Australia and Europe at a young age, 13, 14, with the student ambassador program. And I knew I needed to travel for a living. I needed to be involved in aviation in some way. So certainly my parents were a huge influence in saying, you know, if you want to do that, if you want to travel, go big, take it all the way, right? If you'd like to be a pilot, let's make it happen. And so no one in my family has any aviation experience at all. So they said, we're in this together. We'll figure this out. And let's get started. So that's exactly what we did. We toured a bunch of flight schools and I went to Embry-Riddle and got all my licenses there except for my CFI. So as soon as I graduated, I looked for a job. I ended up dispatching out of AeroSim in Sanford and did that for a while. And then Atlas came knocking at the door. One of my professors had recommended me for a position at Atlas that I interviewed for and ended up taking the position and moving to Miami. And then at that time, once I got down here, I started working on my CFI locally. And once I received that, I was already at Atlas and I knew, you know, let me try to start instructing so I can start building my hours while I'm doing this. And that's when I came to Wayman and instructed there for a while. And, you know, before work, after work, wherever we could squeeze in the sessions or ground schools. And that was like the top. That was so much fun, you know, balancing all of that. The instructing and working at Atlas. And I did that up until I received a promotion, but that took me to New York, Atlas's headquarters in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And so that's when I, you know, said goodbye to Wayman and packed my bags, moved to New York. And I worked in the chief pilot's office up there, manager and then director of flight crew operation. So I did that for several years up here in New York until just recently Atlas said, hey, we need a little help in the training center. Are you interested? And I've never said no to Atlas. So I said, you got it. Let's give it a try. And I, you know, although I still live in New Jersey, I made my way to Miami again to start overseeing the training center. So
that's interesting. So I like what you said there about never saying no, especially when you're young and like making your headway to a company. If the company asks you to do something, it's because they see something and they want to give you these more opportunities, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because I think it's like a 50-50. Some people say like, no, that's, you know, the that's not my job kind of mentality. It really doesn't exist in aviation. You got to step up to whatever happens that day, that flight, that morning, right?
Yeah.
And take it. Because that's how you learn. That's how you keep growing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's happened multiple times, you know, to me in aviation and with Atlas. It wasn't necessarily where I saw myself going or is that what I went to school for? No, but is that what the company needs? Is that what we need to grow? Is my skill set there? Yeah. I know it is. I can do it. We can make the improvements. I'm devoted and we'll make it happen. So yeah. And then you find out that you love it anyways. A lot of times it's not what you foresaw yourself doing, but once you're in there in the mix, it makes you fall in love with it and you really get on board.
So. That's beautiful. And I recall, I want to say one of the first times I met your acquaintance was at the Greater Miami Aviation Association. I don't know if you were at a luncheon or if you were helping out with the gala or whatever it might have been. But what a great organization. And I think you were one of those scholarship recipients early on.
Yes, I was. So, you know, I grew up simple. My dad's a farmer in Iowa. And so when it came time to do flight training, I knew I couldn't just do it on my own. And so, you know, I applied for a lot of scholarships, but the one that truly, you know, put me over the edge, and I received it twice, was the GMAA scholarship. And it really just an amazing organization that I've continued to stay in touch with. And I do believe I did meet you at one of the galas, because that was something that even years past receiving the scholarship, I would still call up and say, hey, can I volunteer to help? Because that was just such a pivotal point in my flight training career. Having that support of the GMAA really took me a long ways. I even received an internship from someone from the GMAA that I had met over the years and, you know, got my foot in the door in aviation that way too. So it certainly truly was an organization that gave me a leg up as I got started.
Now, for all young aspiring aviators, whether it's to be a pilot or airport operations or anything like that, there's these wonderful organizations. Greater Miami Aviation Association is local. It's meant for students that are here in South Florida. But most areas have one of these. There's a Central Florida Association. There's the Wings Club in New York. There's a lot of these organizations that, you know, I like to think that people in aviation, you know, when they've gotten to that upper side, to the upper echelons of it, they're very generous. Right. They want and they understand that there's a higher barrier of entry, usually in the flight training. Right. Because most your typical college financing will pay for your college classes, but doesn't pay for fuel. Right. And So we got to get that flight training going. So many people miss out on these. So I happen to sit on the Greater Miami Aviation Board, and I'm super proud of students like yourselves that have gone through it. And every year I'm always amazed how few people apply for these scholarships.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, there's so much out there for flight students. Like you said, Everyone that's in it and has made it now, they know how difficult it is to get started. And so they're very generous in helping. And especially if you're a minority, if you're a female, you know, aviation just really doesn't have a lot of those people in the industry. So if you're interested, people want to help you get there. And that's such a great feeling. So.
Big push for diversity. We're very happy to have a kind of high number of young women and ladies here that are teaching and students at our flight school. You're one of those that, you know, I think I owe a lot to Rosa. Rosa, director of, now she's the director of registrar, and she was always big on hiring and pushing women, who are often our best pilots, honestly. But are you involved at all with the 99s or Women in Aviation?
I've always been a part of them. More recently, I haven't been as active, but I received scholarships from them as well when I was coming up. And they're just what an inspiration all of those women are, you know, historically. And now they're just doing so many great things for young female aviators and males. You know, you go to Women in Aviation conferences, it's open to everybody. You know, it's really an inclusive group. So.
Now, this is interesting because, yes, there's the scholarship part of it, you know, the dollars and cents that are going to help you pay for your flight training. But these boards, and they're all boards of pilots, executives, management in these aviation companies, and they are investing in you, right? When they read all of these applications and they take the Saturday morning to interview everybody. And when they find a Teresa, they're, as a group, making an investment in you. Right. And So they become mentors. It's easy to call back, you know, a year later, years later, and say, ask for that internship, like connect with them. It opens all sorts of doors that aren't just a checkbook. Right. It's really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know, Kristen Jern, who I interned with, just an inspiration, right? A female aviator that is just strong and smart. And, you know, it's those types of people that you cling on to when you're coming up and say, like, that's it. She's made it happen. I can do that, you know, and you grab strength from those types of people in your life. So absolutely.
Especially someone that didn't have, you know, the dad or uncle that was a pilot. You're the first in your family going to aviation. You've got to kind of build those relationships. And you got to sit down and write the one-page essay, right? Yeah. It's not the hardest thing in the world. Like, why do you like aviation? You should be able to write one page about it and ask somebody to read it for you, submit it, you know, jump through those hoops. If it takes you 2 hours, 5 hours to fill out an application, but on the other side of that is a $5,000 scholarship, that's probably the most profitable 5 hours of your life.
Absolutely. It's the highest paying part-time job you'll ever have.
That's a great way to put it. That's great. Let's come back to the present, right? You're director of flight training operations at Atlas Air. There is a huge pilot crisis, a shortage of pilots worldwide. What are you doing? How are we filling this gap? I mean, we're trying to put as many students as possible through the school, right? How are you pulling them in?
Yeah, so obviously industry-wide, it's a challenge for every airline. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a major or not, every airline is struggling to fill seats. And certainly you have to get creative in order to try to bring those pilots in the door. So one way, just, you know, tagging off what we were just talking about, is creating these pathway programs for up and coming students to learn about the airline, provide them scholarships, right? So get people that are beginning their careers, whether in flight training or with a regional or a 135, and build these relationships so that there can be flow through to the larger airlines. So that's certainly one way that we are working to get our name out there for young pilots coming up, and also create these relationships with other airlines. So that's definitely one area that we're really putting a lot into. And then another way that we're trying to do it is just thinking outside the box with people that, you know, in other countries that maybe previously couldn't come and fly here. And so we're really hiring a lot of Australians on E3 visas right now. We're really just getting creative with the types of pilots and locations that we're hiring from. So we're bringing them in still. We've got some of the largest classes, I think, that Atlas has ever had, which is certainly challenging from a training perspective, right? Because you go from, you know, just normalize what we're used to these largest ever classes. So simulators and instructors are, you know, maxed out, and we're working really hard to make sure that we have the resources in place to keep these classes, you know, moving, keep the training footprints short and get them out on the line. But in the meantime, the recruiting is still nonstop, and we're still trying to bring everybody in the door that we can to, you know, not only just sustain, but to grow the airline. So it's certainly challenging, and a lot of creative minds in the operations and in HR and other departments that are just thinking of ways that we can support and bring people into the operation. So.
That's really exciting. More or less, do you know how many pilots are that Alice employs? It must be
massive. Yeah, about 2,600 right now.
2,600. Yeah. That's a lot of pilots. My gosh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, the more I think about it, Alice is, I think, uniquely positioned because they are a worldwide airline. You know,
yeah.
They're not an American Airlines. It's in the name American Airlines, right? Atlas is, by definition, kind of a worldwide. And you've got, I think, a Korean base, right? You've got bases all over the
world.
We
don't actually have a base there, but certainly we do outbasing, and sometimes that finds us in other locations. Most of our bases right now are US based, but we do have a gateway program. So that means that although you don't need to live in your base like a traditional airline, right? And we don't ask you to commute to get to your base. We buy you your ticket to your base from your home. So there's some perks for, you know, those folks that aren't ready to live in Newark or, you know, Atlanta or wherever they may be assigned a base. And Atlas really allows for that. They allow you to live just about anywhere and be taken care of and help you get there. So certainly when it comes to a really long trip, that helps when you're not doing, you know, your own commuting on the other ends. We're helping you with that.
And is it the typical ATP minimums, 1,500 hours for someone to apply?
Yes and no. That's something that we're working on right now. We've got a couple different ways in, right? So we do have pathway programs where we help people who are right there on the cusp get over the edge and get their ATP. So we are working on some alternatives to that right now because we really see some of those benefits. And we also see that we have some crew members who are international that maybe don't even have their ATP, but they're eligible for it. Sure. And so how can we help you get it and get you in the door? So we're being creative with how we can get people in. So there's some changes coming in that area for Atlas in order to really be able to bring in new talent.
Yeah, that's the big one right now. And of course, the question that I get all the time is that first job, right? Mm-hmm. So a typical student graduates from our school or any school, right around 200-250 hours, and they're looking at those 1,000 hours, like, oh my gosh, you got to do those 1,000 hours. So the tried and true method is a flight instructor for us. You know, anyone who's got the patience and the ability. It's not for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Being a flight instructor is a great way to put on that time and to learn your craft at a better level. But where are you seeing students flying from that are not pursuing that route? I mean, do you see
people? Like if they're not instructing first?
Yeah, they're not instructing first.
I mean, 135s, right? That's an option to come in with some lower hours and get your foot in the door. So we certainly see that as another option for folks as well. And military, we have a lot of military crew members that find a nice home at Atlas, right? Because we actually do military flying. So there's some nostalgia there and some pride. You know, we operate cargo and passenger missions for the military around the world. So a lot of times they've heard our name, they've flown on our planes, sure. And, you know, that's maybe made an impression on them, and they'd like to get their foot in the door here too. So that's certainly another way.
I imagine it's probably a pretty reasonable transition to come over from like a C-5, a Galaxy or something like that, into a 747. You're kind of in that same size and style of aircraft, right?
Any and all types can find success. It's about the training, right? As long as you've got a training program that can support that. And we also have other aircraft types, right? So the 7-4 is, you know, the queen of the skies, the most notable that people think of with us. And it's certainly our largest fleet. But we also have 777s and 767s and 737s. So, you know, there's a little bit of variety, especially if someone's coming in with a little less experience or coming from a smaller aircraft and they want to start on a little smaller scale, there's that for them too.
Excellent. So tell me about this international program, because our school is about a 50-50, right? We're about 50% local here in the U.S. or in South Florida that are joining us, and 50% come from all around the world, South America, Indonesia, India, China, wherever they might be. Now, you mentioned the E3 program, which I know is Australia, Chile, and there's one more country in there that escapes me.
We're primarily doing the Australian pilots on E3s right now. Actually, our HR department just did a little Australian tour and put on some presentations and met hundreds of pilots there who were looking for positions and to come here to the U.S. So, we are recruiting heavily there. A lot of very experienced pilots coming from that area that are just in, you know, a different hiring status there. It's just things are a little bit different in aviation in that area right now. So they're eager to come here and learn about Atlas. And they've probably heard about us. We do, one of our customers is Qantas. So we do have, our feet on the ground there in Australia. So a lot of those pilots have heard of us, have seen our aircraft in their area. So that certainly helped us with recruiting efforts as well. We're bringing in hundreds of those Australian E3 pilots right now. And like I said, they're very experienced. They've done this. They know what they're getting into, and they're doing well in the program. So that's most important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because you do a lot of flying in that part of the world, a lot of crossing the Pacific, right? So that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure Qantas is not too happy with you, right?
I don't know. I haven't asked.
Well, that's wonderful. So outside of the E3 program, I mean, is there... most airlines have not gotten to a sponsoring level yet, an H-1B. They're not there. As we progress through this pilot shortage, I'm not sure. You know, I think there's an opportunity there for it. I mean, just the fact that the E3, and then there's a new one, the EB3, I think, has opened up.
Yes, I think you're correct, yeah.
Qualified pilots to come in as if you were, you know, a physicist or something like that. You know, pilots are very highly trained, very rare professionals. And so I'm really glad they have opened it up, because I get questions all the time, you know. A lot of my contacts are in South America, and we have a lot of captains that are saying, you know, maybe it's that time to make the move. I don't think it's exclusively focused on Australian E3s, right? No. But do you have people jumping through other hoops?
Yeah. So I'm not as well-versed on visas in general, kind of glad that I'm not, but, you know, but I do oversee the TSA Alien Flight Student Program, or now the FTSP. And so we really do bring on a lot of non-US citizens, aside from Australia, that are coming here to become a pilot for Atlas. So yeah, more than I ever thought of Atlas until I took over that program. So yes, we truly do. We're creative with trying to get you in the door and what you need. So we've got a whole group of people that's what they do is look at what we can do to bring on board those folks. So yeah. And like you said, there's some that are a little more difficult to work with. The wait periods are much longer and the hoops to jump through can be difficult. So there's some that we're not quite ready for yet. But certainly, like you said, with the pilot shortage that's out there, those are things that I think every airline is thinking, how can we do this? What can we do to help foster and bring these people in.
Excellent. So I know, so this is called Insight Aviation. The idea here is to give aspiring aviators some insight into what to expect, into paths to go through. You know, being that you're kind of interesting because you've been on that pilot side, you've been an instructor, now you're in the operation side of things, which is wonderful because you have so many different perspectives, right? If you had someone that was coming to you right now, you know, a young Teresa that was kind of asking for, you know, which way should I go? What should I apply for? What would you share with them?
Yeah, it's a great question because even myself, you know, you go back and forth, what's the right time to do one or the other? And aviation really is so cyclical that there's times that you're glad your feet are planted on the ground and that you're doing something like this. And there's times that you say, man, I wish I was up there today. So it's certainly not just an easy answer. It's not black and white. I think any of us that have aviation in our souls know that we crave both and we need both to keep us happy. So I certainly think that's my advice, right? You got to make sure that at the end of the day that you're happy and fulfilled, whatever that might be. And I know at different phases in my life, different portions of that have been what I needed. And, you know, I certainly am someone that also has that desire to help, right? So, you know, there's been times in my life training, you know, others was what I was able to do and was the perfect fit and brought me that joy. And then there's times that I'm able to do and make a huge difference by being at my desk and, you know, extending a hand to those that are out flying the world. So I've certainly enjoyed both. But yeah, that's really my advice, you know, just follow what you need in that type of your life, because you really do. Once you're in aviation, you can move around, you can do things. The opportunities are endless. And it's a small world like that, where you make connections like yourself, and you can make moves and make changes about your career without, you know, having to make this huge shift. So those things are possible. So just go with what you're feeling, what you need in your life right then, because it's not the end all be all. It's not like you've gotten yourself into this one niche and you can't get back out. Aviation is really such a big world with lots to do. So
that's an interesting point. So what I'm hearing here is adaptability, right? Pilots are adaptable, right? You've got to adapt to changes in your flight plan, right? Changes in what you're carrying, where you're going, what your route's going to be. And I think that applies to your career as well. So everyone has their own path. I would say seek out, thinking in your context, right? Seek out mentors, right? Seek out those connections, those scholarships, organizations. It is completely worth the $20 to be a member of the 99s. 100%, you know, pay the $30 for OBAP or whatever it might be, right? Because it opens up these contacts. You never know the person you might volunteer at a high school career day, and the captain that's there with you from Atlas says, hey, why don't you come visit the Sim Center, right? You never know what these opportunities are going to open up for you. So be adaptable, flow with your path. And be happy. That's an important one of it, right? You've got to make sure you're happy doing what you're doing, no matter whether it's at a desk or in the sky, right?
Yeah.
That's excellent. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If somebody wants to reach out to Atlas, like, where do you send them? Is there like atlas.com? Like, what is it?
Yeah, atlasair.com. Obviously, we can even put my contact information if someone's got questions and they, you know, want to rack my brain or they need some help with something. You could even add that in with some of the information from the podcast. I'm always happy to answer questions and redirect if I don't have the answer. But that's certainly one of my joys, right, is being able to, you know, help and answer questions for people that are trying to make choices about their career or what they're about to do. So, yeah, I'd love to pass that along.
I've always loved just how open you and most people in the airlines are about sharing what their job is actually like, how to get in, need a letter of recommendation, let me connect you with somebody. That's wonderful. So atlasair.com, hit that careers page, see what's available, reach out to you, right? And hopefully they'll end up in one of your classes. And similarly,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. And if anybody out there wants to reach out to Wayman Aviation Academy to start, you know, the ab initio, that initial training, at Wayman Aviation on all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever you'd like, or fly@wayman.edu. That's our website. We're at .edu now. I don't know if you knew that. We've been going through accreditation. It's very exciting. We went from being a .com to a .edu, and there's a lot of big news on the horizon for that, which I'll share when the time comes, and I'll share with all of our viewers and listeners. Again, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get a higher education, learn to fly with Wayman Aviation. Thank you, everybody. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.